Bengals on top, and to a lot they in the underdog slot. But the fact is they're the champs of the AFC North. A playoff berth is what they got. Ain't had a shot since it was 2015. Time to play like they've been here before.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's the producer and brothers comments. Welcome to the Who Day Over 40 podcast, a long time, long suffering Cincinnati Bengals fans. Who Day, everybody. Wow, the draft is over, finally. Three late nights, or late into the evening with all of these draft picks. A lot of prognostication from people who say they watch tape and all these projections about people who love picks, hate picks. Again, this whole cottage industry that has been built up on people, you know, that aren't really professionals at watching tape and making all these projections as draft nicks or whatever. It's just become such an overblown, oversaturated industry or whatever. The draft is a crapshoot. The most seasoned professionals will tell you that. Nobody knows how these people are going to react to the level of competition change, the change in their lifestyle, the money, the new city, like all of those things factor in and play such a big factor in the success of players that are drafted on top of the physical skills that they may or may not have. So it's a crapshoot. I love all the content. I like listening to your podcast and reading your tweets and all of that. But again, to say that you know for sure that this person is going to bust or boom, or is going to be a great player or a Pro Bowler, I mean, you're just talking. So I'm going to join that chorus here today, but in from a different way as a Bengals fan. I'm going to join it in the sense that we're going to look at the roster in and of itself. Like the Bengals have, you know, a history of keeping a particular number of players on the roster every year. And with the newly drafted players, let's see where they fit into that. Because those players making the roster is, you know, one thing. But are they actually going to be able to contribute on Sundays? Will they be part of the 47, not the 53, the 47 active roster of players that can actually play on Sundays, which changes from week to week, but for the most part, it's fairly set, you know, outside of injury. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the roster projection versus the draft picks. We're going to go position by position through each position group. We'll spend more time on others and less on others as we go through. But just to kind of give you an idea of like, hey, wait a second. Is there actually anybody there available for them that they drafted that's actually going to be able to come in and play? So let's do it. All right, y'all. So the Bengals, they had 10 draft picks. I think most people were surprised that they kept all 10. I know I was surprised that they kept all 10. There's a possibility that they would trade somebody and or trade some picks to move up to get somebody or trade down to get more picks, I guess. But I thought they'd use some of those picks to move into spots and get somebody that they actually wanted immediately. So since we last talked, the fourth round started. The Bengals take Eric All, tight end out of Iowa via Michigan, another Michigan player here too. Josh Newton, the cornerback from TCU. Tanner McLaughlin, a tight end from Arizona. Cedric Johnson, is that it, from Ole Miss, an edge defensive end. And then Dejon Anthony, a safety out of Ole Miss for that one of those seventh round picks. And then Lee, the center out of the University of Miami, as the other seventh round pick. Again, there's been a pattern established by the Bengals. You know, if they came in for one of those 30 visits, there's a good chance they get drafted. If they were a captain on their team for 1 or 2 years, definite chance that they're going to get drafted by the Bengals. If they played at a big school, played in big games, definitely, you know, fits the profile for the Bengals at this point in time under the Zach Taylor era. They look for guys that have played in big games, big situations, and, you know, had excelled in that. The other thing that the Bengals have done, or looking at this group that they've started to draft here now too, is that the Bengals want character guys. And this is really the only deviation that they've had in the past, because they made one pick that was definitely not a character guy in Jermaine Burton with that third pick at wide receiver. Beyond that, high character guys, captains, all of those things. The other thing that really deviated a little bit too is that the Bengals under Zach Taylor have been drafting guys with what we call high floors, but not high ceilings. So they come in and it'd be pretty much a made product at that point in time. They're not going to come in and like, oh, wow, he hit a different level and he's going to like level up and be this better player in year two or three. No, the Bengals wanted players to come in to be able to play right away and fit in a rotation that they weren't going to be terrible, but they weren't going to be great. And this time they took a little bit of a different tack. It was with a lot of these picks, these are what they call boom bust prospects, you know, and if you hit, it's going to be very, very good. But I think a lot of these players, they won't be boom bust as much as they might be either boom or just average. You know, I don't think barring injury, a lot of these guys would probably, you know, have decent NFL careers. You know, they just might not be the projection that they thought where they were going to get possibly an all-star or all-pro or a pro bowler. And they just might just be an average NFL player. All right, so who's actually going to play? This is what we're going to do today. There's not 10 spots on the Bengals team, not at all. Again, are you going to make the roster? Okay, that's different. Are you going to be in the starting 47? Are you going to actually be called up on game day? You know, and that list of inactives come out at 11:30 on Sunday mornings for those 1 o'clock starts. Are you going to be on the active roster? Or are you going to be on, you know, the inactive roster? So who has the best chance of actually playing on Sundays? So we'll go through it position by position group, see who we think will be active, and even if they actually make the team or if they're probably practice squad materials. Let's do it. Position groups. Quarterback, the easiest one to do. There's going to be two of them, Joe Burrow, Jake Browning. That's it. They might sign another quarterback for the practice squad, you know, just have another camp arm, especially with what's going on with Burrow's wrist. But that's it. No other quarterback is going to be added to the active roster on game day. It'll just be these two dudes. Jake Browning signed the extension with the exclusive exclusive rights free agency contract that he signed just a couple of weeks ago for 2 years. Nobody's going anywhere. This was the easiest one to project. Hopefully we'll see Joe Burrow throwing here soon, either in OTAs or on Instagram or something like that. But yeah, it's about that time. Rookie camp here is coming up very soon. So I'm sure that he will make an appearance there, especially hopefully to get in Jermaine Burton's ear. Running backs, they usually keep four. Chase Brown, Zach Moss are your two starters. Not sure who's actually going to be starting the games, but I expect them both to be used close to equally. Travion Williams also signed for another year in free agency, so that might get you to three. But then Chris Evans was the other one that's under contract, and there's no way that Chris Evans is on this team. They don't trust him. He can't be trusted with the team. He had a run at kickoffs there for a little bit. Like, I think he has some potential, but it's just never worked out. And, you know, he's going into his third or fourth year. It's just time to move on. So I'm not going over the free agents that they signed, but I know they signed a couple of free agent running backs. There's a strong chance that one of them make the team over him. And Malik Wright from the Sports Analog or whatever that group is that he runs, he had floated the idea that the Bengals are thinking about moving Drew Sample to H-back / fullback. So maybe Drew Sample becomes your fourth running back. And then that opens up a spot in the tight end room as well. Once we get to tight ends, you'll be like, oh, okay, how are we counting these particular people to try to get them onto the active game day roster? But the Bengals didn't draft a running back. So these two dudes, Travion, and then we'll figure out what's going to happen with that fourth running back spot. The wide receiver room, now that's a little bit different too. And I don't think I'm crazy when I say this, when I don't think there's a spot open for wide receivers on this roster at this point. Once you factor in the draft from last year and this year, they usually keep six, Jamar, T, Jermaine Burton, the rookie, Yoshi, Charlie Jones, Trent Irwin. That's six. Where are they going to find somebody else to get it? The rookie will come in. He will play. I'm assuming he will be game day active every week, bar an injury or he does something stupid. But that's it. Like, there's no other position group or they're going to be adding any wide receivers or anything like that. So the wide receivers are set. You know, next year it'll be a little bit different when T leaves. You know, I'm wearing my T-shirt today, but like, this is set, and he's probably going to be the rookie that probably plays the most, because I would imagine he becomes wide receiver three in this offense at this point. And, you know, there's going to be some Is everybody going to be active on game day? They usually are all active on game day, and let's see how that kind of plays out. You know, Charlie Jones and Trent Irwin may be fighting out for one spot. And again, I'll take that back to the tight end position, that maybe they count Mike Gesicki as a receiver, air quotation. And then that opens up the wide receiver room for them to float something around. But yeah, Charlie Jones and Trent Irwin are probably in a training camp battle of some sort. Charlie Jones maybe gets a little bit of the edge there because of his ability to return kicks and punts. But yeah, it'll be interesting out of that particular group to see how it plays out. So there's the tight ends. So they usually keep three. Drew Sample, Mike Gesicki would normally be your two people that to start there. And then you have Eric All, the tight end they drafted from Iowa, who's coming off of an ACL from October. So if you count that out as a 9 to 10 month injury, he should be ready for training camp in August. But who knows, you know, where that knee is going to be. Tanner McLaughlin, another tight end out of Arizona. And then Tanner Hudson, who they signed as a free agent after spending last year in Cincinnati. So if you're keeping three, who are the three? Again, if you move Drew Sample over to the running back room and he's your fourth running back, okay, bet. Then that opens up a spot in the tight ends. If you don't do that and you move Gesicki over into the wide receiver room, then he is the sixth wide receiver, and then you still have a spot open, and then maybe you go Sample, Eric All, and then Tanner McLaughlin and Tanner Hudson are fighting it out. It's a kind of a, you know, should be an interesting battle. I know everybody loves Tanner Hudson, and that's great. And he really didn't get a chance to play that much with Joe Burrow before, you know, the injury. So, you know, maybe he's going to be that receiving tight end along with Mike Gesicki, you know, that the Bengals are using in that regard. But does Tanner Hudson become redundant if you have Mike Gesicki? Gesicki can't block. Tanner Hudson can barely block. You know, like, is there room on this roster for two primary receiving tight ends? And again, a lot of this is going to depend on the health of Eric All. You know, can he come back and be the player that he was at Michigan and at Iowa for the before he got injured? You know, he's somebody that they projected as an early round pick. The only reason they had an opportunity to draft him because of the injury. So let's kind of see how that goes as well. But I'm kind of interested in the roster maneuvers there. But all things being equal, if he's healthy, Eric All should play like a lot. Tanner McLaughlin is probably practice squad material at this point. And then you have to make the worry about, is he going to be able to survive on the practice squad without somebody signing him up? No, he's 25, man, a 25-year-old rookie. That's a lot, but we'll see what happens there. The offensive line, they usually keep 10. Left to right on your radio dial, Orlando Brown Jr., Cordell Volson, Karras Kappa, and Trent Brown is your right tackle. Your backup, Samarius Mims, the draft pick at 18. He's going to be learning to back up both left and right tackle. There's a strong chance, since Trent Brown doesn't finish seasons because he gets injured, that Amarius Mims is in the starting lineup at some point. And maybe there is a competition initially to start at right tackle, and then Trent Brown becomes your backup left or right tackle. That's a thing. Cody Ford, I would imagine, makes this team. Jackson Carmen is still on the team. I'm not really sure why. Matt Lee, the rookie from the University of Miami. Trey Hill, Deontay Smith. So you have your five starters for sure. Obviously, Mims is making the team. Cody Ford is making the team. Matt Lee is making the team. So that gets you to 8. And then that only leaves two spots between Jackson Carmen, Trey Hill, and Deontay Smith. I don't really know. This seems like a spot that you would bring in a free agent. Max Sharpen is still out there. His ability to play guard and center. Trey Hill is not very good. Deontay Smith, they thought he would be something. Again, where they go against their profile, where they take him out of East Carolina, small school, and he just hasn't been able to develop into a viable, you know, a tackle or swing tackle. And then Jackson Carmen's just a mess. Drafted as a from tackle, moved him to guard, lost the position to rookie Cordell Volson, played him at left tackle as a backup, then some right tackle because of injuries. He's just a mess, and I don't know that he can fix that mess. You know what I'm saying? Like, is his confidence so shot at this point that he can't, like, kind of put it together? On the other hand, they didn't really draft any other inside, you know, offensive linemen, so maybe that's a vote of confidence, or maybe he's showing something in the offseason program. I don't really know, But yeah, it's going to be interesting how they get to that 10. But for sure, I think both rookies, Amarius Mims and Matt Lee, not only do they make the team, I'm betting they'll both be active on game day as well. They'll probably try to get Matt Lee to learn a little bit of guard so they can justify having him active on game days. But yeah, I can't imagine that both of them aren't active as a part of the 47 when we get to game day. Your specialist, pretty easy. Money Mac, Evan McPherson, your kicker. Fully expecting him to get an extension sometime this summer as well. Kyle Adamidas, your long snapper. And then this is where it gets fun. Brad Robbins, the kicker from University of Michigan, or the punter. And then they did sign, this is the only undrafted free agent I'm going to talk about, is Austin McNamara, the rookie punter coming in from Texas Tech. There has to be some competition at that spot. Brad Robbins was terrible last year. Terrible in length, terrible in directional punting. And again, I'm not really sure why. You know, he kicked at Michigan. He kicked out the doors. Like, he should have been better than he was. And there was talk that the Bengals might draft somebody they didn't need or have to. You're bringing in this kid from Texas Tech to be competition for that. Hopefully Brad Robbins heard that during the offseason and started to take his craft more seriously, or I don't know. But yeah, he needs to be better. We cannot have these 35-yard net punts anymore in this offseason, because you're putting the defense, you know, completely stressed out having to defend these short and half fields. So yeah, specialist group, the part I hate about this is that it messes up the, you know, the snap, hold, long, you know, kicker combination. You know, Evan McPherson's been through a bunch of those at this point now. And since he's such an elite kicker, it doesn't matter for the most part, but it did matter when it really mattered, you know, two seasons ago in the opener, you know, where they couldn't get the snap and the whole combination down and wind up losing that game to the Steelers in overtime. So yeah, that's the worst part about it, but hopefully they figure that out in the course of the offseason, and you know, it doesn't affect Evan McPherson. Defensive line. Now, if you're on YouTube, you see I use the picture of Trey Hendrickson signing his extension from last year. And he has a big smile on his face because he was happy he was getting this new money. And then less than a year later, he's not happy, contemplating retirement because the Bengals won't renegotiate another contract. My dude, you and your agent should have just waited. You know what I mean? You could have waited. You didn't have to sign that extension, but you wanted some new money. The Bengals granted you new money. The Bengals never negotiate contracts before they come up, or very rarely do it. So they go out of their way to help you, and then you're like, oh yeah, I want more money because you outplayed your contract. I understand that, but your agent probably should have told you not to sign that contract. Like, you know what? Let's go into this season, and with the potential of being a free agent, go out and get 17, 18 sacks and then cash in on the open market or cash in with the Bengals. So Zach Taylor said he'll be back. Zach Taylor said he's playing for the Bengals. He may come in a little mad, but maybe that motivates him to go out and get more sacks. So, yeah. So the Bengals usually keep 10 defensive linemen, 5 D tackles, and 5 defensive ends. This is another situation where I don't know where we're going to see, like, somebody that was drafted. And it was Cedric Johnson, the rookie from Ole Miss. I don't know where they see he's going to actually I'm a little concerned that he'll even make the team if he doesn't wind up on the practice squad. So if you look at the defensive tackles, Sheldon Rankins and B.J. Hill are your starters. Zach Carter, Chris Jenkins, and McKinley Jackson, and Jay Tufele. That gets you to 5 defensive ends. Okay, so, excuse me, 6 defensive ends. So somebody ain't making it here. McKinley Jackson and Chris Jenkins, they're definitely going to make it because they're rookies, unless one of them is just terrible, and I guess McKinley Jackson would be the most likely candidate there. Zach Carter, he's been bad. Drafted to be a three-tech defensive tackle. He hasn't done well. And, you know, that's a third-round pick. He should be playing better, more consistently at this point in time. He's going to his third year, you know, like it's time for him to play better, and it just hasn't happened. And so maybe that's where that spot is. So Sheldon Rankins, B.J. Hill, Chris Jenkins, McKinley Jackson, and Zach Carter and Jay Tufele are fighting it out for that last spot. That could happen here as well. That's, you know, I don't really know, but I think that's going to be it. And then the defensive end room is just completely set. Like, again, sorry, Cedric Johnson, you are Jeff Gunter. There is no position for you. Hendrickson, Hubbard, Sample, Osai, Miles Murphy, that's it. Those are your five defensive ends. Maybe Osai gets hurt again and that opens up an opportunity for you. Okay. You know, they love Cam Sample and his versatility to go inside, outside. That's fine. Hubbard's coming off of his surgery in the offseason. Hendrickson's pissed off because he didn't get money. Like, where would even snaps be? All these dudes are active on game day as well. Like, I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with McKinley Jackson. You know, Chris Jenkins, more of a three-tech defensive tackle as well, but stronger against the run. McKinley Jackson is the traditional nose tackle type. Maybe he plays a lot more because the Bengals struggle with that. But, you know, is he going to be serviceable, you know, or is he going to be terrible? Because if he's terrible and he's not strong enough to hold up the point of attack, then he becomes Tyler Shelvin and he's just a dude that's, you know, on the roster but not active on game days. So that'll be something to figure out. Maybe they bring back, you know, Josh Tupou as well, and then that puts more pressure on Zach Carter and Jay Tufele to see if they wind up being able to actually, actually make the roster, or if they wind up on the practice squad. All right. But yeah, no defensive ends are making this team. Sorry, Cedric Johnson, outside of injury. Linebackers, very easy to project, just like it was for quarterback. They usually keep five under contract: Joe Bachy, Logan Wilson, Jermaine Pratt, Akeem Davis-Gaither. The only one that's not back from last year is Marcus Bailey. He hasn't re-signed yet. I'm not really sure why. I thought they would draft a linebacker, more of a, you know, a first and second down thumper, because you do have a couple of, you know, three down linebackers here with Wilson and Pratt, and then Davis-Gaither can play on third down. You don't have to play every, those running downs. But yeah, I was looking for a first down dude that could just run downhill and tackle people. And so I'm sure they signed some undrafted free agents in that regard, but yeah, I can't imagine that, you know, maybe Bailey comes back. Maybe he was looking for a, more of an opportunity or a choice someplace else. But yeah, right now they only have four linebackers, but they usually keep five. So be on the lookout for who they're going to bring up to play in that fifth linebacker position. And this is where it gets interesting, y'all. Defensive backs. They usually keep 10, six corners and four safeties. Zach Taylor announced today that Dax Hill is going to be working exclusively in the cornerback room. Okay. It's kind of a surprise based on, you know, where he was drafted and what the projection was for him to be the free safety after Jesse Bates left. He started off okay and then got worse as the season progressed. And I think he lost his confidence as well as the team losing confidence in him. And now he's like kind of positionless, which he kind of was when he was drafted as well, because they weren't really sure, the Bengals and the league, which is why he lasted so long, what his natural position was. He played a lot of slot corner at the University of Michigan. Well, they already have a slot corner in Mike Hilton. He has a high athletic score, so he could probably project to being an outside corner. But you drafted, you know, his teammate the next year in DJ Hill to play that position. So where does he fall in, you know, with the Jalen Davises of the world? You know, you're going to have him be a backup slot guy in case Hilton goes. That doesn't make any sense either. So he's going to work in the corner room exclusively. That's what he said. Zach Taylor said. So let's see how it goes. So CTB is your starter, and I assume DJ Turner, unless something were to happen. Jalen Davis is your backup. Dax Hill is your backup corner on one of those positions. Josh Newton, the rookie from TCU, they like him. And allegedly he had a first round or first day grade on him, or at least second day grade. And then he just had a bad season at TCU last year, and that dropped his draft status all the way down in the fifth. DJ Ivy was the other cornerback from the University of Miami in the seventh round last year, who was playing really well before his ACL injury late in the season. So he's probably a candidate for PUP. And you don't know what you're going to get back when he does come back. So yeah, that if you're six corners, Cam Taylor Britt, Mike Hilton, DJ Turner, Jalen Davis, Dax Hill, Josh Newton, you know, that leaves DJ Ivy out of this equation. And I know there's some other corners they have on the roster that they like, but I think that's your six. And then at the safety position, they usually keep four. Your starter should be Geno Stone and either Jordan Battle or Von Bell. So that's three. And then it's a battle for that last spot between Tyson Anderson and Dejon Anthony, the rookie from Ole Miss. But, I mean, Tyson Anderson also coming off an ACL. Dejon Anthony, he's a rookie. I don't really know. They're not going to keep more than four safeties. They have four is more than enough. So I definitely think they, you know, are set at safety too. You know, oh, well, we could use Dax in position. You know, he could go between both spots. I don't think that's a great idea either. You know, there has been, I remember one success story of Madee Williams, who was drafted out of Maryland as a safety in the Marvin era. They had to play him at corner because of injuries, and he did well. And he was a really good athlete, just like Dax Hill. But his natural position was safety. I think the biggest concern is that we don't know what Dax Hill's natural position is other than slot corner. But you already have somebody manning that position that does it well. You know, does he become that specific person to guard tight ends, you know, in passing situations because he is so long, he's so fast, he's such a great athlete. Maybe that's where his position lies in this defense. I don't really know, but this is a first round pick. And there's a portion of me that thinks he's probably trade bait. If the Bengals think that they could get something back from him, at least in the terms of a player. I don't think they would trade him for a pick, but maybe a player if they could get somebody back, if they thought they had some kind of upside on that player to get back in return. So that's it, y'all. These are the roster projections. So to count back here, the people that I think will be active on game day, Amarius Mims, Chris Jenkins, McKinley Jackson, probably Josh Newton, and then Jermaine Burton. So five out of those 10. Oh, and Lee, the center. So six out of the 10 are actually wind up becoming active on game day. That's not bad. Honestly, that's not really bad. And then we'll have to see what happens with Eric All based on injury and Tyler McLaughlin. They wind up might be seven dudes that are active on game day. That would be great for the Bengals if they can actually come in and actually play. But it's, you know, it's too hard to project right now. Like I said, rookie mini camp is going to be coming up. We'll get a chance to see what numbers they're wearing, which is always fun. And then the schedule release here coming up in a couple of weeks. So we can see where the Bengals start the season, whether they're at home or if they're on the road. Can we not have an 0-2 start again, y'all? Just for shits and giggles, maybe not do that again. Maybe take away, you know, kind of camp Zach Taylor there and actually have these dudes working in the preseason, even if it's only for a drive or something. Because it definitely feels like since the Super Bowl, they've taken like a little bit longer to get started into the season, which is fine. But you lose two games to start, it puts you behind the eight ball, especially in this division where three of the four teams made the playoffs. And you started the season 0-2 in the division, which didn't help you at all in trying to climb out. So, all right, that's it, y'all. We'll be back here in a couple of weeks as – you know, like I said, as the off-season program continues, we'll definitely have the whole crew back together when that schedule comes out so we can start to do our early predictions about wins and losses like we know anything about what's actually going to happen into the future. All right? So we'll see you on the other side, everybody. Hootay. Peace.